Okay, so we have a couple of fun things to share with you today. Yesterday, I had a couple of people come up to me and talk to me. Again, I like it when you talk to me as well, because we come into an event like this with an agenda of things that we want to talk about. But then it's always good to talk to the people that are in the field, in the market, and find out what are some of the challenges you're going through, or not even challenges, but just what are some of the learnings that this group might need more so than a different group. So I had between reading all the questions you asked and then having these conversations in person with someone, there was something that popped out to me that I really thought would be important to share with you to make sure you get the concept. So when we start off, let me just share this with you. There is warm market and cold market. Have you heard those two expressions? You've heard that. If for some reason you don't understand those sales, and this is a good thing that I'm doing right now for those of you who want to be trainers someday, I know we all assume everyone just knows what warm market is, right? Because needless to say, your whole life you've been using that term, right? When you went to school, your mom and dad said, make sure you develop a good warm market at school, right? Obviously, I'm being facetious. Nobody uses the term warm market except us, okay? So warm market means people you know, not some people you know really well, but more so just people you know. So for example, if you go to work every day and you go into the same coffee shop and you know that person, you know them by their first name, you don't know their last name, you don't know their phone number, you don't have the foggiest clue any details about their life, but if you were to see them, they would know you and you know them, right? They would be a part of your warm market. The people you go to and see them at the gym, or maybe the people you play basketball with, or maybe whatever, just people that you know, you have some level of recognition. They know you and you know them. That's what we call your warm market. There's cold market. That's everybody you don't know. Okay, so there's obviously way more cold market people in the world than there are warm market for you or any individual. When we get started, we say you should make your list of your warm market. Now, there's a lot of different theories on doing this, and this is the one thing is like I can't tell you the ideal way to make your list. I can tell you how not to make your list. This is how not to make your list. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. He likes to travel. She wouldn't do this. No, he doesn't have the time. Oh, this guy would be good. Oh, he used to be in Herbalife. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, his spouse wouldn't want him to do it. No. He doesn't like to travel. Oh, yeah. See, what are you, a psychic friend? You're going, Paul Smith wouldn't do it. The funniest thing in the world is the people you're not putting on your list because with your Jedi logic, you're determining they wouldn't do it. Those are the people that sign up on someone else's team and then you go, well, that's not fair. I know them. Laggers lose, okay? So you need to be the first one to contact everybody you know, or else if they sign up on someone else's team, the joke's on you, period. Here's how you make a list. Anyone, I'll tell you a better way to make your list. Take your phone, and everyone that's on your phone, just go through one at a time and call them. Don't prejudge them. Just call everybody on your phone. There's groups in the U.S., they do something called a phone dump. I don't know the exact expression. But they just randomly, like, they'll have accountability partners. So if I'm working with Anon, I'll sit with Anon, and Anon will go, okay, he'll take my phone, go through my phone, and go, this one. And he pushes the number and hands it back to me. And I've got to talk to that. He goes, have you invited this person yet? I'm like, nope, bam. There you go. And you start making a phone call. I don't care what game you've got to play. This is a real simple deal. The more people you talk to in warm market, the more money you're going to make. Now, certainly, if you have no warm market, you have two choices. Do nothing, which is what most people do when they run out of warm market, or start contacting cold market, okay? This is gonna be a really important session for all of you. Some of you guys are brand new right now, and all you should be doing is talking to your warm market. There's message in here for you as well. But for those of you that are starting to, you've gone through a bunch of your contacts and you're starting to wind down, or for some of you have been doing this for a couple years and you've really gone through the vast majority of the people you know, this is a vitally important lesson. Because again, Matt talked about being a professional network marketer. You do understand, here's how network marketing works in general. Probably 75% of people get involved in network marketing, 70% of people get involved, treat it like a total hobby. They are microwave thinking. So they come to a meeting, they meet some of the people in the front row, they hear your success stories and go, oh, I want some too. So they come in and they make a couple of phone calls. And within the first five phone calls, they get someone who goes, oh my God, it's one of those things, it's a cult, it's a pyramid. Or they get someone who says, yeah, I'll do it. Then they get online and go, oh my God, I was just online. Do you know that anyone who's multi-level, it's satanic, their head's gonna fall off, they're gonna go to jail, it's evil. I read all this stuff, you're crazy, you shouldn't be. And that's it, they're done, bam, over. Or they go and do two or three presentations, no one signs up, and they just give up. That's it. That's the vast majority of people who sign up in any network marketing company. It doesn't happen instantly, so they just say the hell with it, okay? Then there's a chunk of people, 20, 25% of people, that you actually start doing the business. You make the phone calls, you start going through the numbers, you come to a training or two, some will, some won't, so what? You make some money, build a little bit of a team, and then slowly but surely your warm market list starts drying up. You know, you've gone through most of, and sooner or later you get to a point where there's not too many people left on the list. Now, the reality is, for most of those people, they could keep adding people to the list. Some people, some top reps call that list their living list, because you're always adding more people to it. How many of you do that? You go, oh my gosh, I forgot about them. Or you go through Facebook or something like that, and you just do things to jog your memory. One of the things I did after, when I got to this point in my career where I'd gone through the warm market, someone said, take a phone book and go through every profession, A to Z, and jog your memory. So who do you, and accountant. Okay, who do I know who's, oh yeah, I know someone who's an accountant. Oh yeah, I know someone who's a mechanic. Oh yeah, I know someone. And it helped me put about another 70 people on a list that I did not put on my first list, because I just didn't remember. Sociologists say that by the time we're 21 years old, we know something like 1,000 players. Don't quote me with exact numbers. I'm just saying, you know more people than you think you know. Let's put it that way. So you really, if you do this the right way, you should never run out of warm market. The problem is, most people who join our downline never even come to one training like this. Some people come to one training and that's it, and you don't learn the proper way to do the business, which I'm going to share with you in a minute. So you zip through your warm market like a hot knife through butter, and you run out of it really quickly. But I'm going to give you a general concept. Hope this concept makes sense. Again, this is a reason to own these recordings, because they say when a student is ready, the teacher will appear. You may hear this right now and it may go. If you were to take a child who is 8 years old, I don't know, what are you in second grade when you're 8 years old, and you had a brilliant physicist come into class and start teaching about, you know, advanced stuff like that, how many of you think the average 8 year old would be tracking right there with him? Oh yeah, I understand rocket science. Yeah, I'm down with it. Yeah. They wouldn't understand it at all, but if they got a recording of that, maybe 10, 12 years later, and they listen to it again, they'd be going, oh, wow. See, if one of the most brilliant mathematicians on earth was teaching advanced trigonometry, if you had that recording, and when you were 21 years old, and you had all the necessary basics to understand this advanced stuff, that recording might become the most valuable thing you could ever have in your life. So again, just, it may not click with you right now, but I promise you, at some point, this lesson will click with you. If you're going to be a professional networker, you got to understand the situation. So are you tracking with me? Most people that are doing a business the right way, they eventually run out of warm market. And sincerely, most people at that point, they don't quit. but they die a slow death through inactivity. Because most of them are scared. Remember, I did it with you yesterday. You walk up to someone and you're going, you have all the best intentions, and then you just keep going. Because you're scared. You don't know what to say to them. What do I say to them? So Matt and I gave you a few things to say to them, but the point is it doesn't really matter if you know what to say to them. You say something. You form them. Carrie said yesterday, you form them. Hey, my name is Mark. What's your name? Where are you from? What do you do? That's cool. Do you have any kids? I have kids. You know, wondering what schools we could put them in. I don't know what to talk about. For God's sakes, you have to have enough ability to talk to people. If you don't know how to talk to people, may the force be with you. You've got to be able to talk to people. You have to strike up a stinking conversation. You have to have a little, you want to get rich, you have to have a little bit of ability to think on your feet. So you just, but the thing is, it's not about me, it's about them. I'm not talking, I'm asking questions and listening. Listen, when you come to Journey, for those of you who come to Journey, we will spend, no exaggeration, all day one day. Now, when I say all day, I mean 9 a.m. till 9 p.m, and that whole day is dedicated to listening, learning how to listen. Most of you are horrible at listening. Number one thing that marriage counselors hear when they go in and people go in, their marriage is in trouble, number one complaint spouses have, both male and female, is my spouse just doesn't what? Listen to me. There's an art to listening. There was an art to listening. This was a problem 25 years ago. Now, in today's ADD world, holy crap, it's more difficult than you could possibly imagine. You want to get rich, you ask questions and you listen. Now, it's hilarious at Journey, by the way, as we go through this for nine. After 9 hours of listening, you're going to be certain that you are now one of the best listeners on the planet. And we take a test, which is by far the most famous test you'll ever take in your life. You will never forget this test. It's a listening test. I'll tell you now it's a listening test. I'll tell you then it's a listening test. And when we do the test, about 80% of people who've been listening for 12 hours fail. Miserably. Some fail so miserably it's almost unbelievable. But the point is, again, listening is a skill. You want to get rich, you got to learn how to be a great listener. Hillary Clinton, you know who she is? Secretary of State, her husband was the president there for a while. She said if you want, she does a lot of speeches now. She goes to major Fortune 500 and Fortune 100 companies and gives lessons on leadership. She said leadership is two things, listening and listening. You want to be a great leader? You want to serve the people you're serving? You have to listen to them. How the hell can you serve them if you don't listen to them and find out what they want? Okay, so we're going on a rant there. So here's my point. Go back to your running out of people. Just say something. Talk to them, form them, listen to them. Sometimes it won't work, sometimes it will. So, you know, I'm sitting there going, so where are you from, Barb? You're from there? Oh, that's great. You know, do you have any kids? Do you have this? What do you like to do for fun? And then she'll go, okay, bye, and she'll walk away. And then that's, again, where you go, oh, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because one person didn't click. How many of you have ever met someone where you clicked with them right away? How many have ever met someone where it never clicked? Okay, it's just the way it is. You guys all want, like, again, you want the magic phrase that you can say to everyone to work every time. It just doesn't work that way. So again, I want to get back to the two major points we're doing here. So when you run out of warm market, okay, you take a step in a cold market. Now, here's a stat I learned when I was 21 years old, and it had a, when I first got into sales, had a massive impact on me. When you deal with warm market of any kind, okay, I don't care what you're selling, cars, helicopters, water filters, cosmetics, anything, when you're dealing with warm market, average worldwide selling everything, great salespeople, terrible salespeople, and everything in between, is an average closing ratio of 6 of 10. This comes from a guy named Tom Hopkins, who's considered one of the greatest sales trainers in the history of the galaxy. When you're in warm market, you will average 6 out of 10 closing. When you're in cold market, you will average 1 out of 10 or even less. Now, if that doesn't hit you in the face like a frying pan, some people are like, I'm going to become a master of the cold market. Let me tell you, everything, there's different businesses and different. In this business, the only way, say the only way. Now, say it again. The only way. To build a huge group that sustains is through duplicating what you're doing. If what you're doing cannot be duplicated by a dumb person, it ain't gonna work. I'm not trying to be mean. How many realize that God created some less than brilliant people? How many realize there are some less than brilliant people in network marketing who make a ton of money? You know why? Because this is what they do. They do the same phone invite every day. It's boring. It's like a broken record. It's almost like they could hit a recording and say the same thing every time. Then when they get done with the call, they set an appointment. They go and go, thanks for coming down. Ooh. And they press a button and the video talks. And at the end, they ask the same damn closing question every time. They're like a robot. They're not smart enough, like some of you, to be able to do so many other things. They're just like, oh, thank God. All I have to do is read this, push that, and say that. That's it. It's a simple process. And some of those people end up building huge groups. By the way, if you're field training with that person, how many of you think you could see yourself, okay, you go out with one person who's a speaker like Matt Morris, and he gets up and does a live presentation and just blows the socks off the people at the travel party. How many of you think you sit there the first time going, I could do this? How do you think the average person in the audience is sitting there going, oh, I could do this? How do you think most people are going, damn, this guy's like from another planet. I could never do that. Now, on the same respect, as good as Matt is, if Matt wants to build a team where he's making the kind of money he is, Matt gets up and says, thanks for coming down tonight, folks. We're going to show you a video that explains everything about our business. Thanks, and watch this, and pushes a button. Then he sits down. How many of you think most people in the audience feel like, see, I think I could do that? Anyone can push a button. Hi, how are you? I'm going to show you a video. When it's over, we'll talk about getting started. And you push the button. That's it. That's duplicatable. So sometimes the better you get, the more you want to use your skills. This is a weird part of our business. It can be hurting you. Because everything you have to do, the average person, this is another concept. I love people go, Mark, I'm going to put out flyers. Okay, now, first of all, you got to make things happen. You got to create momentum. You got to stir it up. You got to make things happen. So if you're going to either sit in your house and talk to no one and do nothing or put out flyers, I tell you to put out flyers. But putting out flyers is not the answer, and here's why. Because most people take the flyer, throw it on the ground. Sometimes if you put out flyers and cars in a parking lot, they all throw them on the ground. The guy who owns the establishment of the parking lot will call you up and say, come pick up all these flyers or I'm gonna have you arrested. Okay, for littering on my property. I've had people have that happen to them in the past. The other thing though is some people will actually call, but most people, when they, what is your business to them? Like if they take the flyer, they show up at the presentation while they're watching your presentation, I promise you they're going, okay, so if I do this, I'm gonna have to put out flyers. Because that's how you found them. And most people, believe it or not, are not excited about a career of putting out flyers. That's not what gets them fired up about being a true professional. So while you may get a sale from it here and there, and if you have nothing else going on, then you got to do something. But that is not a duplicatable process. Does everybody understand the difference between, you can do certain things that will put food in your mouth today, but they're never going to make you wealthy or build you a huge team in our business. So you got to think duplication with everything you're doing. So now I go back to when I'm dealing with cold market. So I don't care what kind of cold market you do, putting out flyers, walking into a mall and doing what Matt said, find someone you want to talk to. I don't care if it's buying online leads. I don't care what kind of cold, I have a friend who used to just call people randomly in the phone book. Go in the phone book, call number. Now that sounds ridiculous, right? He called about 300 people. With one of those calls, this is pretty ironic actually, with one of those calls, calls, he got a lady. And he said, yes, ma'am, I'm looking, with a company, we're looking for people in the area who are interested in supplementing their income. So he's like, oh my gosh, I'm fine. But my daughter's boyfriend just graduated from one of the best universities in America, and he spent $130,000 for his degree or something like that. And he sent out, you're supposed to turn your phones off, right? If you don't turn your phone off, that is grounds for execution at our seminar. Like grounds, it's okay, ma'am, your phone went off. We'll give you grace this one time, but if it happens again, we're gonna have to throw you off the roof. Okay, so my daughter's boyfriend went to a very expensive university, took out all these student loans, sent out like 80 resumes, and hasn't had one job offer. She started selling my buddy on, you've got to interview this guy. He's amazing. I'm telling you, he's probably going to marry my daughter. I love this kid. He's amazing. He's this. He's dynamic. So we call that guy. That guy shows up for an interview, ends up becoming the fastest growing distributor in the history of that company. And ironically, 15 years later, he's now in World Ventures. How funny is that? Yeah, his name is Travis Just. He's an RMD, he's one of our regional trainers, he's amazing. But Travis Just would not be in network marketing if someone hadn't picked up a phone, made a random phone call, got a lady, and that lady sold him on talking to Travis because Travis was an RMD. So get my point, you've gotta stir things up, you've gotta make things happen. You hear the expression, I'm waiting for my ship to come in? I have news for you, your ship will never come in. No, I'm not kidding you. Your ship isn't coming in, so you need to swim. Get your happy butt in the water and swim to your ship. So the way you get in the water and swim to the ship is do something. Talk to people. Hey, want to be in a multi-level with me? Something. Anything is better than nothing. Okay, so once you get, here's my point. So I go through, and I'll give you a better analogy. This is a much better analogy to illustrate what I'm trying to say. Back in the day, you don't want to do this. Again, you can do it, but it's definitely not duplicatable. Years and years and years ago, when the circumstances were way different with no internet, this was sort of duplicatable. But even then, it was an expensive way of doing, a really expensive way for people to do the business. But when I got started, I was taught when you're done with your warm market, you put ads in the newspaper and you look for independent sales reps and people respond to your ads. You can do that, but I'm telling you, nowadays, I used to put an ad in something like the New York Times. It would cost me $500, a lot of money. But I would get back 200 responses, and I was able to book a lot of appointments. Now, if you put the same ad in the paper, same exact size ad in the same exact paper, it costs $1,000, and you'll get 10 responses. It doesn't work anymore. But the point is, back in the day, it did. So we got lots of responses. Now, here, I want you really get the point with what I'm going to say right now. So I'd run an ad in the paper. It cost a lot of money. My phone would ring. That's good. I'd set up appointment. Now, when people would come down and I'd interview four or five people, it was like, no, maybe, no, I'll sign up. But no one was the one. And then after my seventh person, I got someone who was like, I'm in. I want to run this deal. Almost everyone else would keep taking ad calls and booking more cold market because they paid for that ad. I got to get my money from that ad because I knew the difference between 6 out of 10 and 1 out of 10. See, I didn't have any more warm market, but she did. It doesn't say when you're running your own warm market, you get 6 out of 10, anyone's warm market. Now, let me make another, did you get that?
Yes.
So in other words, I'll go through cold market until I get someone who wants to go to the warm market, then I'm done going to cold market. So let me back up the tape. Let's say you're brand new right now and you haven't screwed anything up and you still have a bunch of warm market available. Follow the exact same scenario. My warm market. Finally, I got someone in my warm market who wants to run. I'm not going through any more of my warm market right now. I put that on hold and I run her warm market. That's a big, important thing for you to understand. Now get this. I'm not managing her. This is a huge distinction. I'm going out with her, and in the beginning, she invites, and this is how I process. I don't know how you sign people up. When I'm sitting down after presentation, I did the same way for 20 years. You invite, I present, close, and train. 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 It's on a job training. You watch, you watch, you watch, you watch. You invite, I present, close, and train. You don't do anything but invite. If you can't invite people to sit there so I present, close, and train, I'm going to find someone else to work with. It's that, I say it as nicely as I can, but I'm that blunt. So for someone who's waiting for me to put people on their team, we have an immediate no-go, okay? I don't want anyone on my team who's looking for something for nothing. I want someone who, like I used to be, desperately needs a leader to help them, but they're willing to do whatever it takes on their end. All you need to do is invite. You do 25% of the work, I'll do 75% of the work, you get all the people. Is that a fair deal? Like Matt said, if you have the confidence and the posture you're supposed to and you say that to someone, who in the hell is gonna say no? And if they say no, some will, some won't, so what? Next. Okay, you just keep going. So now we're working together, and the ideal way to do this is a two-on-one. She invites because people know her. She edifies. See, you can't edify. If you're doing a one-on-one, it doesn't work as well because you can't say, oh my gosh, tomorrow you're gonna come down and meet a guy named Mark. If you're Mark. Mark's amazing. Mark's dynamic. Mark's one of my, you can't edify yourself. Some of you do that, but you can't do that. It doesn't work. So there's no respect. Listen to what I'm saying. There's no respect. There's trust, but there's no respect. Because your friends are going, well, some of you are going, my friends respect me. Okay. Let's say you're an incredibly successful accountant, a really successful accountant. They do respect you. If you're going to sit down and talk to them about opening an accounting business, they'd respect you. What do you know about network marketing? In their opinion, what do you think they think you know about network marketing? Nothing. So they don't see you as an expert. And again, there are some people, this is a really important thing to get. There are some people that are so dynamic, so charismatic, so persuasive that they can do their own one-on-ones and kill it. They can go sign up 20, 30 people. Awesome. Is that duplicatable? No. So if you're going to try to get the masses to go in their own warm market doing one-on-ones, again, you are going to get really disappointed with your lack of results. And here's the thing. They say a lot of the best players in sports, the superstar players, make terrible coaches and managers because they expect all the players to be able to do what they were able to do. See, that's a really big deal. A great coach or manager is coaching people with things that the average folks can do. I'm not expecting everyone on my basketball team to be Michael Jordan. I'm not expecting everyone on my soccer team to be Lionel Messi. Those things are just not realistic. You follow what I'm saying? So if you happen to be Messi or Jordan and you're coaching, you get totally frustrated. What's wrong with these people? Why can't they do that? That's typical in our business. For those of you who are really talented, you want to pull your hair out, but people are not like you. You've got to duplicate what the masses can do. So the masses can do two-on-ones. You invite and edify, I'll do everything else. You invite and edify. Now, after a little while, we make a transition. You invite and do part of the presentation. I'll do the rest of the presentation, close and train. After a while, she's inviting and presenting. I'm closing and training. After a little while longer, she's inviting, presenting, and closing, and I'm training. And after a while, she's doing everything. Remember, tell, show, watch, go. She's doing a whole deal. When I can see that she can do an adequate presentation, and when she's got people on her team, see, after a while, either she's doing the two-on-ones for the people on her team where she, in the beginning, she's the inviter, I'm the expert. After a while, her people are inviting, but if they're inviting, they're not inviting to her. If she's been doing it for 3 days, she can't be the expert yet. So her new people are inviting to come see who? Me, I'm still the expert. After a while, if you get enough people all inviting, you can't deal with it anymore. So the quicker I can turn her around to be an expert, the better. I explain all, once we start getting people sign up, I start going, listen, you're going to need to do what I'm doing here quicker, sooner rather than later, because your team's growing a little bit faster than we thought it would, which is a good thing. You follow what I'm saying? But my whole deal is for her to feel like I can be codependent in the beginning, but she knows I expect her to be independent very quickly. Once she's launched, I go back to either my cold market or my warm market until I get somebody else who wants to dive. And then again, I suspend all that and just work with her. Now, this is different than having 15 people and me being on the phone all day motivating them. Okay, yesterday I told you to write something on an index card before you go to bed at night that says, how many people did I personally show this business to or this product to today? Remember that? Here's the other thing. Once you have a team going on, you need another index card. This index card is the acid test that will determine everything about whether you're going to make a lot of money or a little money. Right on this card, if my team does exactly what I did today, how much money will I make? If everyone on my team does exactly what I did today, how much money will I make? Now, if you were out doing two-on-ones and one-on-ones all day and your whole team duplicates that, how much money will you make? A bunch. If you did no presentations, no prospecting, no inviting, but you quote-unquote managed your people and everyone else does that, how much money will you make?
Nothing.
There is no money in managing. You know what we call managing in this business? Write this down. Babysitting. That's what managing is in this business, babysitting. And babysitters get paid about $5 an hour. No thank you, please. And babysitters are always dealing with babies. I love when you come up to me and go, oh my God, my group's so high maintenance. People can't walk in your footstep until you move your foot. Okay, someone asked me yesterday, how are you doing with your daughters? My daughters are 18 and 15. My oldest daughter's in college now. She's not in home. She has a boyfriend. So they're like, yeah, I know. Tell me about it. Because I know one thing. All men everywhere in the world are pigs. Just saying. We all have one thing in our mind, and it's not softball. Okay, so it's another subject. So anyway, but like seriously, people are going, so how are you dealing with them? I'm like, I'm actually doing great. I read a book when I was, my first daughter, my oldest daughter was like 4, and it says you raise your children to leave you. It's natural for you. You notice though, there's a lot of parents when their kids leave, they won't let go. They want to keep running their life for them. And it's like, I get it. Like it, when I look at my daughters, I don't see an 18-year-old. I still see the 3-year-old or the 5-year-old. They're still my little girl, but they're not my little girl. They're an adult now. So slowly but surely, I have to let go. That's a perfect parallel for your downline. Just don't take 18 years to duplicate. Okay, you're talking about maybe 90 days before you launch them and are off doing their own deal. So two-on-ones where there's inviting and, you know what I'm saying, where there's edification and you have trust and respect, two-on-ones are better than one-on-ones. Now, someone's going to go, but Mark, I don't have an upline and there's no one for me to work with, so I have to do one-on-ones. Stop whining and just do one-on-ones. When I got started, you know what I was doing? I was doing one-on-ones. You know why? My sponsor lived 4 hours away. Back then, there was no such thing as cell phones. Can you imagine that? Try to explain that to a child right now. There was no such thing as cell phones. So I either had to get my sponsor on a landline. There was no way. So I had to do my own presentations. I pushed a video. They watch it. I had to step up and do it on my own. So I am not saying you can't build a business doing one-on-ones if you have to, but that curse ends with you. Once you get your first couple people started, you go to the way it should be, where they invite, you present, close, and train. Does that make sense? You just want to get into that mode. That's going to duplicate better and faster than everything else. Everyone clear with that? So I go through the contacts, so I find someone, and it's just an example of striking where the iron's hot. I'm going to run with her like there's no tomorrow. When she starts slowing up a little bit, and I start knowing I need to get another prospect going, that's when I go back and start calling my warm market again, or go back to the cold market. Everyone clear?
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
I have a video.
You do? Okay, awesome. Thank you, buddy. Well, I think we'll share that later. Okay, so we're going to do this. We're going to take a break. Now, yesterday, there was a reasonable amount of you guys who got sales aids. So just, that's good. Let me just talk to you real quick about sales aids. If there's three mindsets with sales aids. Either one, the first one, which is the most unfortunate one, is I don't need them or I can't afford them. Okay, CDs, DVDs, even the paraphernalia, wearing the clothes, you know what I mean, all that stuff. Either you have a mindset, if I can't afford it, you're going to give me a sample of these things? Thank you, Kyle. Okay, so here we have the things that you can wear. And guys, a lot of people put a lot of time and energy into this stuff. And here's what's cool. What if you're just walking around wearing this and someone says, what's that? So for the timid, shy people, buy the damn clothes, okay? This is walking advertising, you silly goose. We have really cool shirts. These look like football jerseys. I mean, these are cool, honestly. And they say one big team on the back. These are going to get people saying, what is that? What does that mean? We have a boys version and we have a ladies version as well. Or I suppose a man can wear this too. It's the 21st century. And the ladies can wear the blue ones. And of course, we have one which is just specific to this event. So as the years go by, if you do stick around year after year after year, having the Momentum shirt from 2014 is cool. Because you have 2014, 2015, 2000. You just rack up and have a whole bunch of these. I know that might not sound important to you. I know some of you are not nostalgic at all. But I'm telling you, 7 years from now, if you're still around, you're going to wish you were buying those shirts every time we had them. The Just Push Plays, I just got done telling you, duplication. The thing that's going to make your business grow to its biggest possible deal is if your whole team uses tools and comes to events. That's a proven documented fact that virtually every super high producing leader in our company has done. We've also got the Voyager magazines. Guys, facts tell, stories sell. Now, normally for years, no one could get the Voyager magazine unless you were a PSP subscriber, and most of you aren't. So no one could use these. So we literally made these available for sale so you could have them. Okay. There are the best stories worldwide we've got are in these magazines. So when you're sitting down with someone at the end of the presentation, they go, well, I'm not really sure, blah, 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 blah. What about this? What about that? Here's how you answer. You go, you know, I don't really know. All I know is, check it out. I was reading about this couple, and you start telling their story. It's called deflecting. My wife does it all the time, okay? Any intelligent spouse does it all the time. Whenever someone starts bringing up something you don't want to talk about, listen, this is not a joke. I went to something called media training years ago, and it was the same exact company that worked with Bill Clinton when he, I don't know if you know this, but maybe not living in out in the United States, Bill Clinton got caught having an extramarital affair. That's shocking, I know now. No, not the Monica Lewinsky thing. 6 months before he ran for president, he was found to have an extramarital affair with a girl named Jennifer Flowers. Most people, that would have killed their chances of running for president. That just would not work. He hired a PR firm. They put a spin on it. He got elected president. That PR firm is the one I got trained by. Okay, and they showed us all kinds of clips of politicians. This is crazy. This is, I know some of you are going, well, what you just taught me, I don't really know. Is that a good thing to do? So this is what politicians do, if you don't know this. They go into a press conference. At a press conference, the press, the people in the press, ask them questions, right? And they have to answer questions. Here's what politicians do. They get prepped on the three or four things they want to talk about. This is hilarious. They explain all this to us. They showed it on tape over and over and over again to document it. So if I am running for office and I want to talk about education, right? And I'm not prepared to talk about this other issue. And someone in the press says, you know, Mr. So-and-so, what do you think about this other issue? I say, you know what? That's a very important issue. But right now I'd like to talk to you about education. And I go on to what I wanted to talk about. That's how they're trained. That's how politicians don't get caught going, well, some of them do that. But most of them, I told you we'd hit politics today. Okay, so if it's good enough for the top politicians in the world, it's good enough for us. When someone answers a question, you know the answer. Say, you know, I don't really know, but what I do want to talk about is this couple right here. Eric Grisbowski, let me tell you something. This guy gets paid. Check it out. He was here. He was in Africa. And by the way, we got these people too. This is like imagine someone's got a 50 caliber weapon. I don't know if you know a lot about weapons, but 50 caliber, that's a kind of bullet that can penetrate steel. That's a dangerous weapon. So imagine someone is giving you negative 50 caliber, negative comments, like the worst things you could imagine, and you could pull out your shield, which blocks everything. So no matter how negative they are, no matter what they say, you can block everything. So this is a magic shield. This is not a magazine. Don't be deceived. Okay, and then we've got our calendars. This is the coolest thing about the calendar. Each month, there's a little thing on it that is a QR code. If you don't know what a QR code is, once again, some folks don't know what that is. If you have a smartphone, you take the little reader you have on your phone. If you don't know what this is, someone will talk to you about it at the break. And you read that. You just put your phone up to that. And it'll put on your phone a special dream trip offer that no one in the world can get. A better price, a better deal than anyone else can get. And you can only get it if you go ahead and read that QR code. So it's a very good reason to go ahead and make sure you and your team all have the calendars. And then, of course, last but not least, we have this. I don't know if you've ever seen this. The You Should Be Here banner. Hold on. The You Should Be Here banner. I got to talk to you. First of all, let me tell you about the banner. First of all, some of you, when you come to take a picture with us and you don't have the banner, you go into absolute toxic shock. Oh my God, I don't have the banner. It's like, you're allowed to take a picture without the banner. The banners are awesome. You're allowed to take a picture without the banner. Some of you have a banner that was probably new when Bill Clinton was having an affair with Jennifer Flowers. Your banners, the words are like, you can't even read them anymore. It says, you would e-er. Get a new banner. For God's sakes, get a new banner. They're cheap. Get a banner. Don't go home without a new banner if you have an old banner. If you don't have a banner, you can't do that. This is like one of the most powerful marketing. I know it seems goofy. If you're not using your banner, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You should have this with you every time you take a picture, if at all possible. Wherever you go on vacation, special places, if you're putting up a picture of you being on a great safari or a great trip or whatever, it's cool, but it's cooler with the banner. Again, people go, what is that banner about? Okay, cool. And then, of course, you've got the Living in Full Colors. I don't know if we sold out of those after. Sold out. Okay. All right. Don't yell. And the Acceleration CDs. If you don't have those, like, just if you like me, that's 8 hours of me. But it's not just 8 hours of me. The first year we did the trainings, I was the only person who trained. And it wasn't because we didn't have other good people. But we were not going to have trainers like Matt and Carrie that are here this weekend on stage unless they proved that they would earn rank in our, just be like, Matt used to own a company. So this is a classic example. When Matt came in, a lot of companies would have made Matt a trainer right away. But we didn't want to do that because we didn't want to make him a trainer in our system because he used to be good doing something else. Now, a lot of leaders would be so egotistical and they would put up with that. The first training I ever did in Africa, Matt and I flew together. We did everything together. I spoke the entire time. Matt didn't say anything. He sat in the front row which impressed me tremendously. Sat there, took notes, and acted like any other attendee. Him, Johnny Wimbry, anyone who's come in with success in another company, they've all pretty much come up to me and said, look, I really want to be a trainer, but not until you think I'm ready. Not until I earn it. That's so rare. But it's because we set that precedent up 8 years ago that nobody is going to train until they've earned earned it, and that they, we know that they have top production, they're an excellent speaker, and they have good character. Those are the things we look for some to be a trainer at one of these big events. Jefferson Santos was the first person, and we added Wes Melcher. Now we have over 20 people that are all really great. The point is, the first 8 seminars we ever did, all day, both day, Saturdays and Sunday, was just me. So we went through about 2 years ago and took the best of that whole year and put that content on her. So that's really rich content. Not because it's me, just by going through whatever hours, 200 hours worth of content to find 8 hours, you're gonna find some pretty good stuff. So lots of good sales tools. So let me go back to finishing up. There's 3 ways of looking at it. Either A, I don't need it, or I can't afford it. I don't need it, I can't help you with. If you don't think you need it, again, good luck. Okay, number, but you'll never duplicate your team using it if you don't use it. Okay, you can tell your people to use it or buy it, but if they see when they get in your car you're using it, that's when they're gonna end up buying it and using it. So again, this is not a do as I say, not as I do kind of business. You using it and setting the example is what leadership's really about. Now, if you're saying I can't afford it, I get that, but remember, you can't afford not to have it, in my opinion. Now, if you can't get a shirt, I understand, but these magazines, the things, the magic shield, you can't afford not to have the magic shield. You can't afford not to have the audios and that stuff, because that's going to put money in your bank account. That's the first attitude. Not good. Second attitude is, I'll definitely get it all for me. I'm getting it all. You're right, Mark. I'm going to have the shirt. I'll have one of each color. I'll have the magic shield. I'll have the calendar. I'll have it all, which is great. That's a much, much better attitude. But the best attitude is, I'm going to build a big team, and I know you guys aren't going to be in Africa for quite a while. So someone came up to me yesterday and was like, there's certain people that are buying boxes of these things. And they were upset, and I understand why they're upset, because we ran out of things. There wasn't enough for everyone. But they were angry at the people who were buying boxes, and I didn't have time to get into it. But the people that are buying the boxes are the ones that are doing it the right way. They're not just getting enough for themselves. They're getting enough for their team. How many of you plan on sponsoring some people in the next 3 months? So if they get it the day they come in instead of waiting for 90 days, how many realize without their magic shield, you're going to lose a lot of reps between now and 90 days from now? But if they come in, I'll leave you with this thought and then we'll take a break. I got started in direct selling, not network marketing, but I got started in direct selling. Wow. A long time ago, how in the world is it? I've been in direct selling for 32 years and I'm only 37 years old. That's crazy. So 32 years ago, I went to, now I got to real quickly give you this. I went to not an office building. I went to an apartment building where people live. So I, for a job interview. So I went for the job interview and I was like, wow, that's weird. I was a senior in college. It's not even an office building, but I was like, well, this is the address. So I went to the front, and there was a little hand-painted sign that's had an arrow, and it's handwritten, like real cheap and cheesy. It said, interviews around the corner. So I was like, oh. So I went around the corner. So then I looked for a door, but there was no door. There was another handwritten sign that said, interviews around the corner. So I went around the corner. Then there was another sign with an arrow pointing down, said interviews down here. So I went for my first appointment in the basement of an apartment building, in a place that literally the whole office was the size of this stage. And I did meet a charismatic guy who sold me on that if I were to sell cookware, china, and crystal, I would become rich. How many of you are saying, oh my God, if I could sell cookware door to door, that maybe, and the cookware we're selling was a $2,000 set of cookware. How many of you have cookware at home that costs a little bit less than $2,000? Does anyone have cookware that costs $2,000? I was gonna say, I might know you. Okay, cool. I sold a lot of cookware at $2,000. But anyway, the point was, I went home from that interview and I was unsure, but I said, okay, I'll do it. I went to a 2-day training in that little office. I went back on the way home from my training. They gave me the company newsletter. That was part of what I went home with. I went home and I read the company newsletter and I read all the stories of the successful people selling cookware. Then I went to my first appointment. My first appointment was my girlfriend's mom. Now, when you're selling a $2,000 set of cookware, there's a couple of important rules, but the first rule is you never give the price until you're done with the full presentation showing all the features and benefits. So I start off, and it's an hour and a half long presentation. After 8 minutes, my mother-in-law, or my mother-in-law, but the girlfriend's mom, she was going, what's the price? How much does this cost? I don't even care about the rest of it. How much does it cost? And I was like a brand new, so I tried to keep going to the end, but she badgered me and badgered me and badgered me. So about a third of the way through the presentation, I told her, "Well, it's right now it's normally this much, but now it's only $19.99." And she was like, "What? Did you say $19.99? Like $2,000?" I'm like, "Yeah." $2,000. Oh my God, what an idiot. You're an idiot. Who in the world? I can't believe you took this job. You take those samples, you go back right there now, and you quit. This is a joke. It's a scam. It's a ripoff. No one buys this stuff. I'm a woman. I know about cookware. You don't know a damn thing. This is a joke. I'm telling you right now, get out of here. Go home. Bring those things back. So I went back to my car, and the newsletter was in the car. Strike me dead if this isn't 100% true. I flipped open the first page, and it had that month's, the previous month's sales worldwide, and the annual sales for the year to date. And for the year, they had sold $136 million to the year to date. And I just looked there and I said to myself, well, somebody's buying it. So I closed the magazine, I knocked on the door of her next door neighbor and sold her a set of cookware. It was awesome. And I'm not telling you, now you have to cheer. The point is, without the magazine, I swear to God, I would have brought the samples back and been done. And who knows what would have happened. I don't even know if I would have, that would have been such a negative experience. I might have never done any kind of sales ever for the rest of my life. So I didn't even put two and two together until I was up here talking about the magic shield. This was a real, that magazine that I'm talking about, it wasn't a magazine, it was photocopied. It was black and white, photocopied, stapled together. This is a first class, top of the line magazine. So again, guys, we've got amazing tools.